And, you know, we kept in touch with each other, even after she retired, and we would send each other New Year's cards, things of that nature. But I was mentioning about her husband. This is a story her son tells, and is that they were well known. They'd always have lunch together. They'd meet for lunch, and they would, you know, they'd be outside there, and they'd stroll together hand in hand, even though they were married all those years.
But as I understand, you're saying that her work was well recognized even while she was there in the map service, and then as it became topographic command and the defense mapping agency, you feel that her work was being well recognized
up until the time she retired. You know, in the past, she was well recognized in her for better or for worse. I mean, she was DMA. There was no NEMA by the time she retired. I think NEMA started afterwards.
She retired much later. Yeah,
but she was well known in DMA. You were there yourself. You probably I don't know if you remember about her, but
I had met her once.
She gave briefings to generals, and she was not intimidated by anyone there. Mm-hmm. She had her point of view, and she was very outspoken.
Yeah.
And
is that what you mean by for better or worse?
Yeah, she would. In other words, she didn't mind. She'd go to a meeting, and she wouldn't mind arguing. You know,
whoever
she didn't care who it was. She would argue with them. I took something down here to mention that someone else had written. She had a strong background in mathematics, as later it was known, a superb grasp of the scientific method and what was needed to carry out a successful research project. Did not hurt that she also had a strong work ethic and the tenacity of a pit bull. Well, that's true in a way. I was interviewed by the Boston. She was living up in the Boston area when she died, and the Boston Globe wanted to print an obituary of her newspapers, and someone told them to contact me as far as, you know, her career was concerned. So they asked, I talked to a reporter up there by phone, and I said, he wanted to know if I could succinctly describe what she was like. I said, well, I could give you, think of one word, you know, one adjective, indefatigable. I said, she really pushed, and she wouldn't give up, and she was not intimidated by anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was I can see why she felt uncomfortable at times with the bureaucracy then.
But she, as far as her recognition, she was international. Today, you know, things have, it's many years since she retired, but she was internationally recognized. She corresponded and met a lot of people internationally. She received an honorary degree from the University of Karlsruhe in Germany. She attended international meetings. And she was working her way up the hierarchy, you know, become officers in the International Association of Geodesy. And what happened was by 1970, she was already internationally known. She'd done a lot of work. I might just throw in that, in my opinion, the most important piece of work she did technically was the South American datum. She reestablished the South American datum almost single-handedly.
Hmm.
That, as far as I know, it's still active.
Still the recognized.
But that. So she was known on an international basis. Every 4 years, the International Association of Geodesy, with the International Union of Geodesy and Geophysics, they held assemblies, general assemblies, quadrennial assemblies. And she had gone to the one, I remember in 1957, she and her husband and I, we attended one in Toronto, Canada. Then there was one in Switzerland in 1963. I remember going I took 63, no, it wasn't 63, it was 67, I'm sorry. 67, she was at that one with her husband, and I was there with my wife. Remember, we went to services in the there in Switzerland in Lucerne together.
Mm-hmm.
It was the New Year. It was the Jewish New Year. I remember going there at that time. So she was, and she was already the had been appointed head of a study group in Switzerland. What happens in the hierarchy there of the International Association of Geodesy? They have study groups, and they are assigned to sections. There's a president of the association itself, that's the top. Then they have four or five sections under him, the section presidents and secretaries. And then they have study groups attached to the sections. So she was already the chairman of the study group. And the next thing she was in line for was to become a secretary. They usually work up that way.
Yes.
So what happened in 1971, after the one in Switzerland, the next General Assembly was going to be held in Moscow. And her agency, that is Topocom, would not let her go.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons are a little murky. The fact that
I guess because of the clearances she had.
She had clearances, but the fact that she was a naturalized, she was not born in the U.S. She mentioned this in her memoir. She said the fact that her ancestors did not come over in the Mayflower was why she was not sent. I don't know if you remember Charlie Fry.
Yes, I remember Charlie. Yes, sir.
I don't know if you knew Dave Byers.
Yes, indeed.
You knew them?
Dave worked for me later on.
Yeah. They, Charlie and Dave went to the Moscow meeting. She didn't.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, Charlie had more clearances than she had.
Well, whatever the reason was, she could not go. So she offered to pay her own way. They still would not give her permission to go.
Wow.
And it wasn't because there were some problems. They were being Jewish in the Soviet Union. There they'd had some riots or things like that, incidents. But that didn't. And the people at the Topocom, she said they may have felt that there was a problem there. But that was not really a problem. I went. There were other people, other agencies that went. And I remember that's why I said, Charlie Fry and Dave Byers were there. Obie Williams was there too with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But her agency would not let her go.
Wow.
And so she, what this did to her career, at least at the, was that if you're going to advance in the hierarchy in the IAG, you have to be there. And so she couldn't come, so she missed. She got out of the loop, and she never became a section president, which she should have been.
Hmm.
So I got to be a section president, but she didn't. She probably deserved it more than I did.
Yeah, that's interesting. You were also had some involvement when she decided to, in her retirement to write a book as a, I guess as a memoir and observations on her career of the geodesy. What's that?
Yeah. I was not aware of the book or her memoirs until around 2002 or 2003. The thing is, after 2002 or 2003, she was already, she was about 95 years old. And we'd kept in touch more or less socially, and I said, she's getting New Year's cards from her. But she wrote me a letter. Actually, at the age of 95, I realized she wasn't writing the letter. She was dictating to her son, her hangout. You get to that age, your hand writing gets a little shaky and everything. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned the fact that they had this, you know, memoirs, and they were having problems. She'd like to get them published. And they were having problems. Could I give them any advice or information about where it could be published? Well, the thing that struck me, the funny thing is, if you see this thing, if you see the book, you can see that it's based on a very detailed diary. It must have been a daily diary, almost, very detailed. And I was not had the least information at all. I did. Inkling at all that she had been keeping a diary, whether she kept it a secret from everybody or just from me, not just for me, but I had. You might ask, you know, you find out, you talk to Thelma or Eric or Joy, ask them if they knew that she was keeping a daily diary.
All right.
I never knew she was keeping a daily diary. Anyhow, it came to my. They contacted me. They had submitted the memoirs to a couple of university presses, and they couldn't get them done. So they wanted to know if I could be of any, give them any assistance or knew of any way that they could get it published. Well, I managed to work out something for them. I got in touch with the American Congress of Surveying and Mapping, their bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
They had recently published a series of... of installments of a history of geodesy geodesy in the United States by Joe Dracup, who's at the Coast Geodetic Survey, National Geodetic Survey, and so I thought perhaps they could. And I knew the editor and some of the people, you know, who were up there, officers in the American Congress of Surveying and Mapping, although I wasn't active in it myself. And I got in touch with them about perhaps. Doing a series on in the bulletin there on her her memoirs, and there was a lot of technical problems involved getting it transcribed into machine readable form and getting it set up properly, and but it worked out. I was in charge of setting the thing up, editing. Her memoirs. One thing was that her memoir itself is so detailed; it goes into a lot of personal information. It covers not only what she did at the Army Map Service, but all the trips she took overseas and what she saw. You know, the sights she saw with her son and her daughter and her husband, and then a lot of asides about which were not really sort of philosophical or religious. There's a lot of stuff like that in there.
So it's a true memoir.
And that's in her published memoir. But in her in editing the thing, I cut a lot of stuff out. I told them in advance, you know, I'm going to edit it, and I told them it's because the requirements for the ACSM bulletin are such that they didn't have enough room for everything. That was my excuse. Anyhow, she was sort of unhappy with that. She was
didn't quite satisfied what she was wanting, huh?
There are 15 issues. This was the first issue. This is the last issue. It runs from January 2004 to June of 2006, and. And the editor did a very nice job there. She, Ilse Genovese, she put in a lot of pictorial material, which is not in the book. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. The ACSM series is a lot prettier than her book is, which. The book doesn't have any pictures.
But she did finally get it published, huh?
But then, I think she was unhappy with the fact that it was not published, you know, without editing, without abridgment. It was, whether it was her idea, it may have been her son's idea to make her happy. It was finally published, but it was published, you know, it was one of these I hate to use the word vanity publications. In other words, it was not accepted by a publication company.
Oh, so it's a personal...
It's a personal publication. It's a personal publication. There are companies that do, it's called yes. Univision. They do the, they publish it, but you have to pay for it.
Yes.
And that's what they did. But it's a...
And the marketing and sale, and it's up to you to...
That's right. Well, they do a little bit of that, but it went on, you know, you get on Amazon or places like that. And I arranged to have it reviewed by a number of publications, both internationally and nationally. Reviews got published. I have no idea how many copies were sold.
What were the reviews like? Were they pretty favorable, or do you know?
The reviews were favorable.
Uh-huh. Well, it certainly had an interesting title. Geodesy, what's that? My personal involvement in the age-old quest for the size and shape of the Earth, with a running commentary on life in a government research office. That's a very interesting.
Oh yes, yeah, it not only had to do with her professional career and what she did professionally, but it also mainly had to do with her personal interchange with the people she worked with, both. The people she worked with professionally, and also the people she had to report to, the bureaucracy. She was really down on that.
When you read it, Bernie, were you surprised by anything, and particularly in the personal interaction part?
No, nothing. Nothing really surprised me here at all. That what she did. She talked a lot about it. It was a personal book. In other words, as far as the people she interacted with, there were she mentioned that in her personal interaction, her everyday reaction, and a lot of it was good. Some of it was bad. That's what made it interesting. The fact that she would tell about all the problems she had to go through with the bureaucracy there, and her opinion of that, and why talk about the how illogical a lot of the stuff was about. Of course, a lot of it has to do with the military.
Yes.
I remember the whole business at the Army Map Service when I was there. You couldn't write, if you wanted to write an official letter, now you were corresponding to somebody on an official business, you couldn't write, you wrote the letter and you sent it up to the commanding officer and he would sign it. Yes. You couldn't sign it, send the letter off
yes.
with your signature. That was the way it was when I.
Yeah.
First years I was there. Things like that bothered her. And as far as being a woman was concerned, she didn't, I don't think she felt that she was being discriminated especially because she was a woman. But she had some remarks there in general about, how women are treated.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's a very personal memoir. She goes into a lot of stuff which has to do with her. In other words, it's not a dry technical book about her what she had done, her professional accomplishments. It gives her own personal observations about life at the Army Map Service and its successors.
Are there any other areas we should cover, Bernie?
Let's see, I had something. Where's that piece of paper I had? I had a couple, I'm trying to figure out in this book here. I took a look at something that. I have these pages set up here. Something I wanted to bring up, discuss, or mention. I already talked about that. The cancellation of her trip.
To Moscow.
It was already tentatively decided she was going to go. Then suddenly, it was canceled. So let me just read this from, she said the department chief, at that time I think department chief might have been, I think it was Charlie Fry was the department chief, had called several key people in the department's hierarchy to listen to his canceling my trip. Seeing all these people assembly, I'd expected some important business agenda involving us all, but nothing else came up. To impress me with the authority and infallibility of the hierarchy, I would have been the wrong party for that. It struck me sort of funny. Several tall, silent men and one small woman. Did they fear I might pull a gun out of my pocket, or what was the point of the meeting? You know, they had to do with it. Or was the show meant to hide a bunch of another unfair deal? See, she doesn't pull punches. They must have known about the guarantee. I'm not sure what the guarantee means here, as I did. When we all left the room, I heard a well-known voice behind me ask the department chief, may I go in her place? It was the question, whether she go. That gave it another angle. Did someone just want to keep me from taking another trip? This has to do with all the hassles she went through to try to get, to go, which was unsuccessful, to go to the Soviet Union. She felt there was a lot of behind-the-back things going on there. Excuse me for, I'm trying to, I earmarked this page here. I wanted to, now this paragraph here, had to do, well, I won't read the thing, but she discusses here, the role of women and, how they are, they're down, you know, the role of women is downplayed compared to men. At the time that she was doing that, the, you know, women were supposed to stay home and take care of the kids. And
just talking about society in general.
Yeah. Talks about here. In fact, my first experience of a sexist slur in this country, that means the U.S., still amuses me. Among my early ways to make a little more money was a small job with Professor Vasily Yontef at Harvard University in 1942, correcting and grading the homework of his students in mathematical economics. Of course, he already had a graduate degree in mathematics at that time. Until one of these proud Harvard boys somehow found out and complained that a woman was grading their papers. What a sacrilege. Professor Leontief was very apologetic about having to discontinue my job.
And that was the end of her job, huh?
That was the end of her job at grading papers at Harvard because someone objected to having a woman grade his papers.
That's a pretty good capsule of the views of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess I could talk about her all day long, but she, at the end... You know, she lived to be 102 years old. I visited her. I was up in that area. She was in a retirement home in the Boston area. And I visited her about 2 months, 3 months before she died. And, you know, her son already warned me that she has her lucid moments and some... She's not, you know, that age after all. What can you expect?
Sure.
And my wife and I went and visited her. And of course her son and daughter-in-law and his wife were there, and he said, he warned me in advance. He said the chances are 50-50 that she'll be awake. He said if she's awake she might recognize you. Anyhow, unluckily she didn't. She was sleeping, and you know, and she just was not awake at the time we were there. So I saw her, but that was that was it, and she died about 2 months later.
Hmm.
She sent me, a couple of years before then, she sent me a picture of her 100th birthday. They had a 100th birthday party for her, and I got a picture. I don't know where, I still have it around here somewhere, of her sitting in a chair, you know, a wheelchair or something, at the age of 100.
Wow.
And according to Michael, she was up to the age of about 93 or 94. She said she had her, in other words, she was doing well. She was just as bright as she was 20 years before that. Mm-hmm. Then about 93 and 94, she started slipping a little bit. And the last time I actually talked to her was when we started corresponding about publishing her memoirs. And this was around 2003 or 2004. It was about 5 years before she died, 5 or 6 years. So she got on the... I was talking to Michael, and she got on the phone, and she started talking to me. And after about 2 or 3 sentences, she lapsed into German. Just like that. And it wasn't too coherent a conversation. But all I can say would make a personal remark. I hope I can... time I get to her age, if I get to her age, I can be as bright as she was still have.
Okay. All right, Bernie, thanks very much.